Well, there's 28 years. 28 years and 20 seconds. Now, welcome to Channel 56. They can give me a little, no, that's pretty good. I started to say give me a little more mic down here, but that's pretty good. We've got a new sound system in here tonight. Lots of things keep happening. Isn't the studio looking good?
Yes, sir.
Except those two secret 16 thermometers need to be at the top. Now, one of them, the 700, I can finally move it up to 108. Go over here and do it, Reggie. Move it up to the 100 mark. Then we won't move it again until it gets to 150. I'll just pull it up. That's good. Now the other one is at 183, so you can move it to 175. That's not like playing the piano, is it? Go ahead, you don't have to be right on the line. We're at 183. I want it all the way to the top. And strangers watching may say, well, what is that? Can't you read? It says secret. Get a camera on it. It says secret. Only the people that know should be participating. And there are plenty who know. Now, we're going to be live for about 10 minutes. And then I'm going to take you to the cathedral for this morning's service. And we'll all be here taking your calls during the service. And then about I think it's an hour and 45 minutes that the service ran. We'll still be here, and then we're going to be live right on till 11 o'clock Pacific time. I like being on 56 every night, but for the most part, we've been playing messages from the cathedral. This week, and in several of the weeks to come, I intend to be live during that 10 o'clock hour, and I want the Voices of Faith to start planning your schedules to be here during that time. You've been getting a lot of teaching. Now I'm going to start asking what you're going to do with it. And the new sound system, they're going to try to take the kinks out in here in the studio and over the air during the live portion. The sound will be fine from the service. That's a different sound system. But I hope you're aware of all the things we've been doing this past year. I look back and can hardly believe we've accomplished all of it. Turn one of these cameras around, pick up those maps over there on the wall. The Voice of Faith and the coverage around the world. They're back on the wall. You've got to zoom them out until you can pick them up. But there's the map that gives our coverage as we cover the world, satellite and shortwave. There's no spot on the globe we're not live. Then the large map to the right, they don't have that yet. Yeah, they do. That's our Voices of Faith, or rather, King's Houses around the world, World Band members around the world. Once in a while, you need to take a look at what God has done since we built that fountain of faith and determined we would be sending the gospel around the world till Jesus comes. All of this is going on. There are lots of things you don't know that's going on in the cathedral towers, King's House 1. As after 28 years, we stopped and began to secure the foundation until it will endure, till Jesus comes. And Voices of Faith, I want you to get in your car and get here. We're going to need you all this night from 7 o'clock until 11. There's a good contingent in here, but I want every phone covered. And we're taking calls for reservations next Sunday. So get on the telephone now and tell me you're going to stick around. If you haven't seen the service today, and if you did, you need to hear it again. I'm tempted to start a Gene Scott School of the Bible and give you my own diploma, like Frank Lloyd Wright. He built a school that nobody, he didn't get it accredited because nobody could accredit it. It was unique. You realize that if you add up the hours, people could come to the cathedral, then get a tape of the message, listen to it, and write an essay test to me to convince me you understood what was taught. You learn more than if you went to seminary. And you wouldn't be fixed in some traditional box that makes void the Word of God. You understand the book of Romans. You understand everything. I have no lesser authority than Martin Luther. If you understand the next five verses, seven verses, including the two that I've been on, you understand the whole book of Romans and you understand the whole Bible. If you're serious about learning, you need to come to the cathedral. And then it blows my mind you don't have a small dish. You can call any satellite company for less than $600. You can call here and get the numbers where Telstar 6 is and the symbol rate. I remembered it finally. The symbol rate that you tune the receiver on. I didn't pay $600. Somewhere around $550, and I had the small dish. There's no zoning restrictions. And 24 hours a day, you're there and can listen to the 28 years of teaching that keeps rolling around. We'll never finish all of that teaching. You need a small dish if you've got zoning restrictions or can't afford the big dish. There's the numbers. But you can get them from the Voices of Faith. If you're part of this computer age, we're 24 hours a day. Go to the homepage, drjeanscott.com. And there's two or three entry windows that you can punch in. And if you're a surfer of the Internet, you're already subscribing to one of those entry points that lets you pick it up. And we're 24 hours a day, sound and picture, in addition to the homepage that lists messages that you can order, punch in, listen to. Shortwave radio will cost you less than $50. I got a $30 to $40 Sony radio that sits in my palm. Most of the time, I don't even have to get the real antenna. Just pull the little antenna out, and there I am. Two or three frequencies, 24 hours a day, anywhere in the world. America's not up on shortwave because we have free press, and they've never felt the necessity to get it. The rest of the world listens to shortwave because they don't trust their government-controlled press. And that's why we went international with shortwave, to take the gospel to every country. But I can take that little shortwave, whether in the mountains, the beach, wherever. And if it's not the best reception on any of the frequencies, though I'll try two or three, I got a little, like a fishing line roller that I clip onto the antenna and stretch it out about 10 or 15 feet. And I'm coming in normally, clear as a bell. If you want to listen to the teaching, right now I'm in Romans. But I've gone verse by verse through Galatians. I've gone verse by verse through Ephesians. I've gone verse by verse through many books of the Bible. I've taught on just about every subject. We call it the University Network because university means diversity and oneness. I teach a diversity of subjects from pyramids to stars, to leaf-cutting ants in Brazil, which remind me of denominations. Everything's for the queen bee. And some of those heads look like queen bees. You can tune in 24 hours a day. The Internet gives you a program guide. You can be listening anywhere, anytime. If you pursue it a little bit, I've got a shortwave in my car. Shortwave is advanced, way beyond what most people think. Go to the Radio Shack. Tell them you want a shortwave radio with an extension wind-up antenna. Then call the Voices of Faith and get the frequencies, and there you are, going to school in your kitchen as you wash the dishes. Just lay it on the drain board and drop the extended antenna out the window. You can listen, you know, if you want to. You don't just have to listen to once a week. Though if you do that, and if you record it and listen again and again, you need to hear it more than once. There isn't anybody listening to me that gets the whole message in one sitting. I put out a lot of material. Now, if you want to come and are coming to the cathedral next Sunday and want to make a reservation, you don't get in without a pass, and you've got to make the reservation by Wednesday noon so we can mail you the pass. So get on the telephone. All right. As the crawl said, we're live now, and most of these Voices of Faith, along with me, have been here already for 2 hours, and we're going to be here for 2 more hours. But right now, I want you to do what we usually want you to do at the close of the message, call us. You regulars that are making reservations for the cathedral and guests that want to come, you got to convince us that you're coming because you want to hear the teaching. Doesn't take much convincing. Just say it. We'll believe you. It's not a party. It's a classroom. You just saw what it is. That's what happens every Sunday at the cathedral between 9th and Olympic on Broadway, heart of downtown. Connect to the 110, exit on 9th. One way, stay on 9th till it gets to Broadway, turn right. On the right's the cathedral. You can't miss it. My name's in front of it. The parking lot's across the street. Children from 2 to 12, I take them, the pastor, on air-conditioned buses to some 40 museums that are in the area, one every Sunday. Nursery care up till 2. Teenagers, if they're not married or of age, they're going to sit with their parents. It's a university classroom teaching in the Bible, as you just saw. You're welcome to come if you understand those things. Make your reservations. We need them by Wednesday to mail you a pass. You can't just walk in. You've got to make reservations. Right now, I want your reactions to the message. I believe someone has been touched or reached by the message. So let me have your phone calls now as the music plays. Well, I'm happy the phones are busy and I've got your messages to read. Just keep doing it. Get on the telephone. Somebody called and said, I'd like to get some information on the church, please. Well, you're getting it. I told you everything you need to know in the message. It's between 9th and Olympic, on Broadway, over a 50-year-old church. I'm in my 28th year as the second pastor. I mean, what more can I say? It is a church committed to being the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. If you want to support that, you should be here. If you want something else, another kind of church, go somewhere else. What you see is what you get. Don't even give me messages like that, Voices of Faith. Wake up. I have no interest in anybody saying, can I get some information on the church? What in the world do you want? I just told you what the church is. So you're obviously not material for our church if you don't listen any better than that. I'm not looking for friends. I'm giving people an opportunity, an honor, to be a part of the Church of the Living God, which truly takes serious being the pillar and ground of truth. So you need to listen a little while. Don't come. Don't want anybody in this church that doesn't come to be a part of the pillar and ground of truth. I just spent an hour telling you what this church is. And I got 28 years in this city. I don't need anybody examining me. Don't ask us to send you something about the church. Don't send any money unless I teach you. Then don't send any money unless you're sending it out of appreciation for the teaching. Don't distract me, Voices of Faith, sending me silly messages like that. I don't want anybody in this church that wants information about the church when I just spent an hour and a half telling you what the church is.
Yes, sir.
I don't suffer fools.
No, sir.
Now, you smart people, get on the phone. Dummies, stay off. Please, you know, as I said in my message, I know how to act humble. This is a church that's based upon truth and reality, not a bunch of phony smiles. It says, oh, I know you mean well. No, I'm at war against tradition. Wants information about a church so you can fit us into whichever box you fit it in. There ain't no box this church fits in. The only box it fits in is the church that Jesus built. I didn't say in my message that statue wouldn't be seen if there wasn't a ground and a pillar. And that light wouldn't be seen if there wasn't a ground and a pillar. And that message wouldn't be seen, that word, if there weren't a ground and a pillar. That's the honor God has given us. To lift the word, that's all we're about. I can say it in several languages if you want, but it says the same thing. You're looking at this church as you watch it on TV. That's all there is. The building and the people and the preacher exist not to take care of you and to nurse you and do all the things that every street corner's got a church doing. This church exists to proclaim the word, and we don't want anybody here that has any other purpose for being here. Well, I never heard of anybody saying, you don't want us. Well, Jesus did. He said he cloaked the truth in parables that lest some see and understand, or see and perceive and hear and understand and be saved. And he didn't want those. This is the church of the living God. Ground the pillar of the truth that sends this one voice 24 hours a day over every square inch of this globe. Not trying to convert you, but truly believe, all of us, that in every generation, including this day, the Holy Spirit has turned on receivers that will see the light. If the ground and pillar has elevated it, we'll hear the word if the ground and pillar has elevated it. That's what we're about. These are the kind of messages I want. Thanks, Pastor, for Channel 56 and for the telephones. From Santa Ana, I brought a guest 3 weeks in a row, and she's saying it's changing her life already, changing mine also. I'm glad our being there is an encouragement to you, to me and God. He could have split the heavens, and that angelic choirs, and angel preacher, Gabriel's a pretty good spokesman, to declare the message. He wants people with his faith in him to do the same kind of faith of Jesus, to be our faith, to take that which he obtained as a light to the family he's looking for, a family of faith, not a bunch of self-righteous performers. L.A., I appreciate all your hard work. Okay? I like that. That's why it encourages me when you're there. Fullerton, I'm deeply touched by the message. I'm sincerely sorry. I haven't done better, and I will do better. I'll be a voice of faith every Monday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Colton, I was so touched by him, I cried. My son, daughter-in-law are watching. We enjoyed the message. Thank you so much. Can I call in a prayer request? I never miss them. I never miss them. Mira Loma, thank you for this sacred gift that I just received. I have a new life to serve God. I'm in your home 24 hours a day if you want me there. Well, I want to be able to call and have somebody come pray for me. Pray with you. Four times a day you can take communion with me in your home. What's the matter with you? Well, I'm depressed. Well, tune in. If you have an internet, find the message on Going Through Valleys of Weeping. I'm there all the time. And what's not playing live, you can get off the internet most of the time. Order a tape and book list. Church doesn't sell anything, but they own a corporation that pays taxes that does. I'm looking for an army of committed people. Heard a preacher the other night use an old illustration, but it's so simple. He says, you know, every time I eat breakfast, I can tell the difference between commitment and participation. Order bacon and eggs. Now, the eggs, the chicken participated. The bacon, the hog committed. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in that. I want a new army of committed people that haven't fainted and become weary and well-doing. Get on the telephone. Make your reservations for next Sunday. Fill that building with people that want to be a part of the pillar and ground of the truth that goes around the world. Whatever reward I get in heaven, you share in it when that's your attitude. Get on telephone. It's one of the shortwave facilities you've been looking at, 126 acres on the east coast, due east of San Jose, Costa Rica. Cahuita, I think it is. Largest broadcast complex of its kind in Latin America. We have the monopoly on all commercial broadcasting out of Anguilla. You can listen out of Nashville, listen out of Dallas, listen around the world. Here's some wonderful messages. I worked for the railroad for 6 years in graveyard shift. Gives me his name. How can I become a voice of faith? We ask like this. You give us a time and a number to call you. And you come and get trained on a job. It takes a lot of training. All you say is Dr. Scott's line. And then you give a message. Now, don't be offended. They may ask if you're a King's House or a King's Dish. That's the way we keep track of our regulars. You're not a second-class citizen if you say no. But we sort of categorize the faithfulness of our King's Houses and King's Dishes. But you're welcome to call whomever you are. And you can be a voice of faith. He's a King's House. King's House makes a commitment to watch or listen at least once a week and to support in some way. We don't solicit money, don't want any money, except as a response to the teaching. Don't have projects. We teach the Word. So call and give us a number and you'll get called to be a voice of faith. And then you get trained on the job. Hayward, your message today was priceless. I want to make a commitment to come to the cathedral once a month from Hayward up in the Bay Area. I hope you know we're on. Well, you got a dish, so you don't need to know this, but others might. We're on every Sunday morning at 5:30 on Channel 4 in San Francisco, and we need voices of faith here at 5:30. I'm going to come to the cathedral once a month and be a voice of faith the Saturday before. I've never been a voice of faith before, so I'll need to be trained. Yeah, that's all right. I'll come down this Saturday, the 30th. Please tell me what time you want me there on Saturday, 8 p.m. You pick the first time, and I'll do it once every month. You just pick the first time. I think this is the last Sunday of August, isn't it? That's your time. See, I'm easy. Willen Hills, I'd like to attend the cathedral for the first time on Sunday with my wife. What time should I be there? 11 o'clock. How do I get there? Well, I'm in a car or a bus or bicycle or walk or train. Woodland Hills, is that way out on 101? Well, just come down 101. That'll do it. Is it cross 10? No, 101 comes and crosses 5. Well, wait a minute. Woodland 1, am I talking about 101? That's the Hollywood Freeway, isn't it? Well, you just come on down and exit downtown. Or doesn't it cross the 110? Get on the 110. Head, what is it, south? Come in on 101, hit the 110 and head south, and exit on 9th Street. And it's one way, so you can't get lost there. Unless you're like some drunk that thinks everybody's going home early. Go down to Broadway and turn right. And it's in the middle of the block on Broadway between 9th and Olympic. And if you forget that, call the Voice of Faith and they'll tell you. Can I see the Bibles after the service? Absolutely. Many of the Sundays we have a Bible tour. If you come next Sunday, I'll probably have a Bible tour next Sunday because it's a holiday. I ought to reward the people that come on a holiday. That answers your questions. Vesita, I'm an 11-year-old girl. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for taking me to the Children's Museum. You're welcome. Garden Grove, Pastor, we love you, and the message touched my heart and soul. Both my wife and I would like to become Voices of Faith, and we can be there at 2:30 a.m. Sunday morning. That's when I need you. Need you all the time, but I really need you then. South Lake, Texas. I'm listening on my brand new small dish that I got for less than $300. Reception is great. Thanks for the review of 25 years of teaching today. We love you. Why don't you become a KU band member? That's the way I keep track of how many people are getting these small dishes. Everybody ought to have one. What's the matter with you? He got it for less than $300. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Chino, California. You've really inspired me more than any other teacher I've ever heard. I'm so looking forward to Sunday so I can watch you. I'd love to come to the cathedral this Sunday. When you said today about giving God 10% of your time and money, that really hit me. Good. Chino's out close to him, isn't it? No? Huh? Riverside? Too many people are talking. Well, isn't that close to Hemet? So they're in. Okay, I got you over there. Okay, Gloria. I got you. Thanks for the roadmap. Gloria's been around a long time. She knows everywhere. About every week now I get a call that she's in Timbuktu or the Arctic Circle watching whales or some other such thing. I mean, I like her. She doesn't believe in getting old, neither do I. Just get better. I thought I was going to be close enough to Hemet that I could say there's a bus that comes from Hemet, and I'm going to say it anyway. You need to call the Voice of Faith and ask if there's a bus from your area. We have buses that come every Sunday and take you home. Redondo Beach, I really appreciate what you said today, and because of your teaching, I know it's only by faith one can make it, and this is what I like. I'm an 89-year-old lady. I truly enjoy your messages. Thank you, Dr. Scott. No more calls for a few minutes. I want to take G. Campbell Morgan a little further. So take your seats, Voices of Faith, and let me talk to you a little more. And every time I listen to a message, there's so many different languages, I find myself saying Jésus in the French instead of Jésus. Jésus for Jesus, and then Jesus. You know how you can tell Jesus was Mexican? He was named Jesus. He was Italian, too, because he talked with his hands and drank wine. His mother was a virgin. Now that you're awake, I'm going to get serious. you, Campbell Morgan. But I started to say, I watched the message, and there's so many languages. I'll pronounce some of them wrong. And I'm jumping from one to another, all of which have the root word amen in the ones I use today. And I cringed when I was racing through the Hebrew and said, Amenuta. It's Amunata. No big deal, but the scholars could see that the letter wa, which is either, if you put the vowel signs, an O or a U, was after the M, and before the N, and the vowel sign wasn't on the N. It's Amunata. I thought I'd say that. Same word, Amenuta, was a wrong pronunciation. Now that just collapsed the scholars that were going to call me and correct me. G. Campbell Morgan had a way of teaching the truth, simplifying it. He was a scholar. It's an honor to know that he preached under those Jesus Saved signs. I read his text today for a message he preached on the terms of discipleship. And I didn't go all the way on the ground and pillar of truth. It's a constant war to keep people from changing the church into what they want. It's obvious. I can't resist saying it. It's so much a part of our culture. I'll occasionally slip and say, I'm going to church. You don't go to church. The church goes to the Lord's house if you belong to Him. I'll occasionally slip and say, our church and this church and our church. I just did that in exchange with somebody. I want some information about the church. Well, if you listen to me today, the church is from the word Kyriakon, a people who belong to the Lord. What do you want me to do? Get a biography of all the members? You want their medical reports? Send me some information about the church. Well, we want their sex life spelled out for you? Probably. I mean, I know some of you can't take blunt honesty, so you need to go to a baby church. They don't understand it when you say it to them. You need to go to a church where they talk baby talk to you. And you know why babies talk baby talk? Because parents talk baby talk to them. That's the first talk they hear is baby talk. Chip, 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 chip. Send me some information about your church. Well, it's not mine. And the church is a people that belong to the Lord. And none of your business about their personal life, because that's been covered by the blood of Christ. And the only thing that I'm interested in is the people that belong to the Lord and want to live the life which is the faith of Christ, who was the author and finisher, not of our faith, but of faith. I'm tired of starters and non-finishers. That's what I'm talking about today. The calling and election of God is without recall. And as I said in a brief reference to the potter's field, God will start over with you, but He's still going to be the boss, shape you His way. God as a potter has no part with free, flowing, modern art in what He produces. He wants a family of faithers with the faith of Christ, not just belief in Christ, the faith of Christ. That's commitment. And that's our message. But most people don't want to listen to His message. I'm going to go a little further with what G. Campbell Morgan said about the terms of discipleship. In the version he was quoting, Matthew 16, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, it didn't do you any good to carry an imitation of Christ's cross around the world. It wouldn't save anybody to be nailed to it. He handled his cross alone. Told you and me to pick ours up and follow me. So therefore, Luke 14 says, whosoever be of you that renounceth, forsaketh, is the King James, not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, come on now. He couldn't mean that. Well, most of Christianity will agree. But he did. I'm going to read from G. Campbell Morgan. In the words of Jesus, preserved for us in the records, this is the 80th anniversary issue. Almost 100 years ago, he preached. In the words of Jesus, preserved for us in the records, there are two elements perpetually noticeable. This is a lot more important than you getting information about the church. There is that with which perhaps we are most familiar and want to be, and those that have sold out their Jesus only preach this. The element of tenderness, of gentleness, or as it has been very often recently described, the wooing note, the courting note, the seeking after you note. But there is also manifest another element, that of severity, the element which sometimes seems almost to amount to harshness of expression. Or in contrast with the phrase already referred to, wooing note, the element which may be described as the warning note. These are also to be found in the story of the influences he has exerted upon his own age and in the influence he has exerted in every successive age, if faithful proclaimers of the word are declaring it, as well as the influence which he is exerting today. Jesus was and is the most attractive personality that the world has ever known. Yet both when he was in our world in earthly form and by his spiritual presence in every successive century, he has repelled the men he attracted. Measure your preacher by this. I'll take the measurement. You got one of those slick wooing pastors? That's all he does? Yet both when he was in our world in earthly form and by his spiritual presence in every successive century, he has repelled the men he attracted. Whispering on the one hand to the sorrow-burdened heart of humanity words so full of mother love and father love as to make men crowd and press around him, and then on the other hand suddenly speaking words that flash and scorch and burn until men draw back in astonishment. As with this text. You want the background? Which of you intending to build a tower, Luke 14, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to complete it. Sitteth not down first and counteth the cost of it, whether he have sufficient to finish. lest haply after he hath begun to build and is not able to finish it, all who behold him begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or which king? Going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Count the cost. So likewise, whosoever be of you, count the cost. If any man will come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, Matthew puts it in preference. No center of influence, devotion, or appeal. Can demand more of you than the Lord who bought you with his blood. If any man come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And he that taketh not his cross and cometh after me cannot be my disciple. Which bring on the one hand to the sorrow, burdened heart, love, and on the other hand, suddenly speaking words that flash and scorch and burn until men draw back in astonishment. He counted the cost. He named it. He set out to build. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The tragedy of many churches, the gates of hell are not even fighting them. Because they're not building his church. You set out to build his church. The gates of hell are going to fight you. But they're going to lose. And his church was made clear in that other text. The church of the living God. Instruct them, Timothy, how they ought to behave in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. 28 years have not veered. That's why this church exists. I look at that cathedral downtown in the heart of the city and the spire that goes up. And walk through the front doors and see across that balcony, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I think of the dark hour 28 years ago when Faith Center's doors appeared to be closing. And the pioneer of religious broadcasting was on the edge of bankruptcy. And realize that we have seized the heart of the city and that valuable property sits there for one purpose, and that's every Sunday to proclaim and lift as the pillar and ground of that truth this message. And as God tarries, I will finish something and do an unpacking of this wonderful book of Romans that's not been done in 2,000 years. I can tell you a message as today on the faith of Jesus that tradition is trying to black out with belief in Jesus. It hasn't been preached since Paul preached it. Even Luther didn't preach it. And that's what you're a part of. And that's what you've been called to do. Now, how can you sit home and put yourself first? God's not even asking you to stop being his servant in what you do. This is not a preacher that tells you to give everything you have and give up everything you have. Jesus does. But he wants you to give up where you are. You're serving the Lord as a father, as a husband, as a faithful worker. You want His blessing on your business. But be like the father of missions, father of world missions. He was a shoemaker. He said, "That's not my business. I make shoes to make it possible to do what I really exist for, missionary work." Paul made tents. That isn't what's going to give him his rewards in heaven. In fact, I'd like to slap him for not making the Corinthians support him. Here's the man who said that we have nothing to boast about, that says, "I will not have taken from me the boasting I gave you the gospel free." After saying, "I can tell you what the will of the Lord is. The preacher of the gospel is to be in the position of the Levite in the Old Testament. Live by the gospel. I don't need your money, but you need to give so God can see what you think the teaching of His word is worth. You need to teach your kids what that founder of missions did. I go to work every morning to get bread on our table. But that's my second job, my secondary job, my lesser important work. I go to be a voice of faith. I go to the cathedral to put the bread of heaven. On the table of those that can't be here. That's my primary work. I go to guard the sacred treasures of God's Word, to tell the story of the price that was paid to make it available. I go to the cathedral like a priest of the Old Testament, to maintain my course and thanking God for this opportunity and helping to secure the pillar and ground of the truth that goes out. Get your head where the mind of Christ is. He was the Lord of glory. That was His secondary job. When He made His commitment to the Father, His primary job was to fade the redemption through to death and resurrection in order that He might give unto us the gift of His life. If we fade as He faded. That's what this church is about. It's what you're about if you got your head in the right place. Now get on the telephone. Make your reservations. Well, now here at Fall Creek, Oregon. I'm an old lady. Don't admit it. Don't admit it. Age is a number. Just say, I'm a lady. Been around a while. Give me your age, but say I'm a young whatever you are. I haven't listened to Dr. Scott for a long time, but today I'll listen to the service twice. I'm very moved. And that's wonderful. I'm going to show her appreciation. Lots of people calling tonight. Can't keep up with the messages. That's wonderful. Give me that problem some more. Get on the telephone. Okay, we're in the last hour now, live tonight. I said we'd be here until 11 o'clock West Coast time. Now, some of these people, including me and all the staff and crew, these cameramen have been standing on their feet since 7 o'clock. That's 3 hours ago. So can't you liven up this last hour? I have some tape standing by. They'll tell me when it's ready, and I'll talk until it is ready. Right now? You hear me talk about the treasures we have at the cathedral. They're treasures that most people would keep locked away in a vault, away from light. I'm talking about manuscripts, many of which are the only copy in the world. This is not just a couple of Bibles. I remember going to, I think it was St. John's in New York. They had one 18th century Bible, loped off. I mean, we have several hundred of those. The world's largest collection, as I said in the message of the Geneva and the tug of war in England that forced Tyndale to do his first translation now, the so-called morning star of the Reformation, Wycliffe, translated the first Bible into English, but he did it from the Latin Vulgate. Constantinople fell, and the manuscripts, Greek and Hebrew, filtered west, and it was this depository of learning that came west after the fall of Constantinople. The head of the Byzantine Empire, the eastern headquarters of the Roman Empire, home place of Constantine, who Christianized the empire. When it fell, these manuscripts brought forth the learning that produced the Renaissance and the Reformation. Tyndale, after Erasmus produced the Greek Bible and then the Aldine, rushed through by Erasmus, of which we have a copy of, the first complete Greek Bible printed, Septuagint, translation of the Old Testament into Greek, which was the Bible of the New Testament, and the New Testament based on Erasmus putting together of the manuscripts and rushing them to press, opened the door for translation to other languages. Luther created High German with his German translation. We have copies. Tyndale produced the first English Bible from the original manuscripts, or the original languages, Greek and Hebrew. He had to produce it in Germany under threat of life and smuggle them into England, and he ultimately was martyred. His associate, John Rogers, and Coverdale did the Coverdale Bible, and then John Rogers, not wanting to be martyred, called his the Matthew Bible. Eventually, as England became Protestant, the Great Bible was produced with the Queen's approval and order. She then assembled bishops the way the Revised Standard Version seeks to improve the King James. The Bishop Bible was produced. We have first editions of all of these. And as the Catholics come to ascendancy, the Protestants had to flee, and the Geneva Bible was produced in Geneva with John Calvin, the great reformer's notes in the margin. We have first edition, Geneva Bible, Geneva. And as the Protestants came back to power, they then printed the first edition in London. We have that. The largest collection of Geneva Bibles ever assembled. The Bible, as I said, in the message that came over on the Mayflower, was the Bible they read. It was after the King James, but it took 200 years before the King James could supplant the Geneva Bible in the popular mind. King James, we have the only time it's been assembled in the 400 years since 1610 when it came off the presses. We have all seven printings of the first edition. The reason it's never been assembled in 400 years is one of those seven printings. There's only two in the world. The other one is another institution, never to be sold. So ours is the only one in private hands. The other one, there's only three in the world, and the other two are in separate institutions. never to be sold and never to be brought together. Again, ours is the only one in private hands. And having both of those rarities, we're able to put together all seven. Never been done. Ross Perot features the Aiken Bible, the Bible of the Revolution, next, outside his office, next to the Declaration of Independence, original copy he has. We have two of them. In the revolutionary days, America could not buy Bibles from Europe, so the Continental Congress commissioned Aiken to print 10,000 copies. When the Revolutionary War was over, because the paper and the binding and the printing was inferior to the long-established printing houses of Europe, they would buy again from Europe and throw away the Aiken Bible. As a result, very few survived. Its importance is the Continental Congress paid the bill and printed the 10,000 copies, or ordered the printing of them. I spent 17 years looking for the Besson book, the first book printed in America. The Elliott Bible, screaming rarity. First Bible printed in America. Well, the Algonquin Indians in the Massachusetts language. Stephanus, Greek folio, in which he, in his own handwriting, wrote the chapters and verses that now divide every single other Bible. There's only one of those. On and on I could go. 50-some stations of the book. We put them on display to, number one, impress upon you the price that was paid and the history that produced what's now, as though they're trying to take it out on some neutrality concept, the Gideon Bibles in hotel desk drawers, available anywhere you turn. We have manuscripts, earliest Syriac, the London Polyglot, 8 languages. Screaming rarities, one of the 3 great polyglots of the world. But I have some pictures of the room of the book, which is the foundation from which the American Bible grew, and I just want to give you a little glimpse of what, as you come to the cathedral, you spend an extra 30 minutes. It would take you a year if you read the full descriptions at each station of the book and follow. There's a map in the foyer, and you go to each station, and you can spend 30 minutes to an hour any Sunday, and in 52 weeks, you will at least have some concept of how we got our Bibles and the manuscripts that flowed to produce the current versions of the Bible, Spanish, English, etc. Let me see that film, and leave my sound on. That's the room of the book where it starts. I say take your shoes off when you go in there, because out of reverence, that's what we call the hexagon of the papyri. We have the Chester Beatty papyri copies in there, which go back to the 2nd century. The room of the Torah is where it really starts, which is the Old Testament. The room of the sacred Torah. Torah means the first 5 books. Some includes others. Here are hundreds and hundreds of year-old Torahs, many of which were buried to preserve them, written in the scriptoriums in both the Ashkenazim Jewish foundation, where the king was converted and produced the Ashkenazim Jews out of the Khazarite kingdom. Many people do not know that the Yemenite kingdom converted to Judaism, and one of the greatest scriptoriums is in Yemen, in that center of Arabia. What the Bible would call the 3 different Arabias. Yemen is in that southern Semitic language belt, and it produced one of the great scriptoriums for producing Hebrew scripture. You look in this room of the sacred Torah, it looks like the Torahs that we saw in the dust at the museum in Baghdad. That station right there, the 3 oldest Bibles in the world. Very rare copies, because of the fragility of the originals, the only one, two of them in the British Museum, one in the Vatican, we have very rare copies of all three. Alexandrinus, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus. The Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, 4th century, Vaticanus, Alexandrinus, 5th century. When I want to study the oldest Bible in the world, I send my people that I trust to do it, and they take them out and make me copies, which I work from. That's the centerpiece. Got Luther's Bible, got the first Hebrew Bible printed with the vowel signs. That's one of 14 vellum leaves of the Gutenberg, the first book ever printed, the Bible. Has in this particular hexagon one of the half dozen original proclamation by the king that broke off the 10 articles that broke the Church of England off from Rome, without which there never would have been an English Bible. One of the 42 paper leaves of the Gutenberg that exist in the world. They have the Aldine Bible here, which is the, as I said, the first Greek Bible printed. It's the flat one down there on the bottom. That's Luther above it. And if they go around, there's a 13th century Vulgate, handwritten before printing. The Gutenberg was the first printed Bible. That's the first Greek Bible ever printed, the Aldine. I hope they go around to the 13th century handwritten manuscript. And if possible, I promise this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, if possible, I'll have somebody to conduct a Bible tour, but it depends upon who is scheduled to be here that Sunday. But you can go on your own to any one of the stations following the map in the foyer, and there's a complete write-up of everything in this room of the book. That's the oldest, that up at the top of the orange color. It's a vellum manuscript, 7th century Timothy, 11th century Coptic commentary written above it. Oldest manuscript in private hands, back to the 7th century. The British Museum fought my taking that out of the country, but they eventually relented and made a copy of it to keep with my permission in the British Museum. This collection of papyri, I said, has the Chester Beatty copies, which go back to the 2nd century, both Coptic and Greek. There's some Ethiopic scripts down at the bottom. There's a 2nd century passage from Corinthians, one of the rarest papyrus in the world in that selection. And there are papyri that go back clear to 300 B.C., which are valuable because the study of writing types enables you to age, date papyri because of the writing style and the multiplicity of documents, from business documents to love letters to scripture, because the writing style is, as with the English language, changing century by century. This is just a glimpse, and you can come back to me, just a glimpse of the treasures through some 56 or 57, what we call stations of the book. People ought to fly from Europe to spend one Sunday at the cathedral. We keep them on display. You can't get in. It's not a public service. You can't get in without making a reservation. I think you can understand why we can't just let anybody come. You got to let me know you're coming with a serious, honest commitment. You want to hear the teaching. You want to see these treasures. You want to visit the cathedral. You do that, and you're welcome to come. So let me throw the phones open again. You get on the phone and make reservations. Come on. We may show you some more pictures of that tour as it continues. I think that was the tour on my birthday Sunday, but I'm not sure. He conducts the tour when I ask him to. Palmdale, Pastor, I'd like to thank you for the immense privilege of getting to view the Bible collection last Sunday. While viewing Station 50, I had an oh-my-God moment. Only it's written, "Oh, me God, as I read a name that this amateur Elizabethan scholar knows very well. I was totally blown away when I found out that you acquired a Bible that belonged to the secretary of Sir Francis Walsingham. I know people that would give their eye teeth to have that one. I am indeed lucky. Eye teeth wouldn't get it." Redondo Beach. "I'd like a reservation for next week. I attended the cathedral for the first time today. I believe the next revival is going to be based on the truth you are proclaiming." Yeah, I agree. I hope, you know, a lot of you in my congregation for 28 years, as I've said, this all you've heard, some of you. You think this is normal. How many of you remember several weeks ago when I read from a host of the most prestigious commentaries, all who were trying to give their reasons why that this should be the righteousness which is by faith or belief in Jesus Christ? Remember that?
Yes,
sir. And one of them complained that the old Latin, which I will get to, the old Latin, and I think it was the Coptic they named, or maybe it was the Syriac, they're unimpressed because that language said of faith of Jesus because, quote, they just slavishly copied the Greek. Let me say that again so you really get it. This is one of the most prestigious commentaries studied in most Bible schools. Saying, don't use the old Latin or the Syriac or Ethiopic or whichever one, which, and by the way he quoted something from one of them was proof that he didn't read the language. Don't use them to prove this point because they just slavishly copied from the Greek. You got that, haven't you?
Sure.
I mean, don't tell Dr. Scott his wife loves him because he just lavishly copied that from a love letter she wrote him. I mean, the Greek is the horse's mouth. But if the Greek says what I don't want to believe, right there is where I differ with the Greek. This truth has been buried and it needs to be resurrected. And we're doing it. I don't know what it is I have not said these 28 years that makes you not know the effect you have on me and my capacity to declare the word when you're not there. I can preach to an empty church. I can preach on the end of a log. But my pastor's heart, as I once said, the joy that Claire Grace prophesied may be when this church demonstrates what the Philippian church demonstrated to Paul. When you spare me what John Wright Follett said to me, "Gene, it'll kill you. Don't let it happen." It comes so hard. He was in his 80s. It comes so hard and is taken so casually. I don't think you have any idea the way Satan fights my getting this message out. And you will have the faith of Christ and be there because you made a commitment and responded to God's call and He counts on you. Or you will have that negative impact. I'm new, Laguna Beach says, and I'd like to be a voice of faith. I'll be at church next Sunday. And thank Dr. Scott for pushing back the deadline for Secret 16. It's now Christmas. And you're welcome. Come on, get on telephone. All right, here from Los Angeles. I never will name a name unless they tell me to. It's okay. Los Angeles, calling for a copy of The Pulpit, a tape catalog. I love his teaching. And his program. He explains things so well. I'm a pastor myself, and listening to him really helps me with my work. I'll be supporting him. My name is Reverend McCurdy. Who took that message? Who? McCurdy? McCready. I mean, you said your name well. I just have Voice of Faith that write in a different language than all those I know. My name is Reverend McCurdy, and I pastor the Southern Trinity Church of God in Christ here in Los Angeles. You can use my name. I'd like a tape and book list. Tell him to keep up the good work. Thank you very much. I like when a pastor steps forward and says, I like the truth that he's teaching. All I'm teaching is what Paul said. Who can argue with that? Unlike a singer in a quartet that came to my dad's church when I was a teenager, the quartets would be sent out, this one from Glad Tidings Bible Institute, and they always had to practice a little sermon before they sang. So, like a bunch of dominoes, the quartet members would testify. They would preach a little. I came to the tenor. He must have been new on the circuit, and stage fright hit him. He says, Paul said! Paul said! Paul said! I don't know what Paul said! I made it my business then and there to find out what Paul said. And I've been doing it ever since. Back to the series in this message that G. Campbell Morgan preached on the terms of discipleship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. This is that harsh message. And take up his cross. What is self-denial? Jesus says everything when he speaks. There's nothing more to be said. Our danger is that we minimize when we explain. To deny self is to say no to every wish that comes out of personal life contrary to his claim. To deny self is radical. It goes down to the roots of things. A man may practice self-denial all his life and never deny himself. That's pretty profound. A man may practice self-denial in this and that respect, and all the while his self-centeredness is strengthened. Jesus did not say exercise self-denial in externalities. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't say exercise self-denial in externalities. He said deny self. Have done with choosing, wishing, planning, arranging for self alone. Choose no more, will no more, except a will that God shall will. And he quotes a little poem, he probably wrote it. Our wills are ours, we know not how. Our wills are ours, to make them thine. I deny self when I hand over the keys of the citadel to the king and say, enter and reign in every chamber of the being and all the possibilities of the soul. And I'm increasingly impressed with the fact that whenever a soul comes to Christ, the last battle is fought out over one thing. I do not know what it is in your case, but you know exactly what you have to do if you are going to follow this Christ to build and do battle. the thing that must be set right, the friendship that must be dropped, the habit that must be abandoned, the prejudice that has to be crucified, the pride that has to be humbled. God tells us in our honest heart what it is, and we know. Oh, he pleads, for 1 5-minute of soul honesty. You pick up a real cross when you begin to follow Jesus. They're Christ's terms. Nothing I have said is quite so hard as the words he uttered. Unless you hate father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sisters, unless you put every other love, every other interest in the background and Christ in the foreground, you cannot be his disciple. So help me, God, I will not tone down my master's message. I will not make this thing for my heart and yours one bit smoother than he made it. Take up your cross, not Christ. You cannot take up Christ's cross. He took it up alone, and in the mystery of it, made it possible for you to take yours and find the virtue of his. And virtue is an old English word that means strength. But you must take up your own. The cross is but the prelude to resurrection. These are the men that shaped my life, not contemporaries. Men whose life were totally committed to God and his word. I used to teach on the cross. What is the cross? My cross. It'll be like his cross, but it won't be his cross. And I could take many parts of it. God got him ready for it, came at the end of his ministry. God didn't take Jesus in swaddling clothes and put him on the cross. As I said, he'd learned obedience to the things he suffered. He learned to run to the voice of the Sayer. God got him ready. Book of Hebrews says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The right word, the Greek word is paideia, which is to child train. You don't make a boxer fight 15 rounds before he fights one. He gets you ready for it. That's why I have no sympathy with retiring from God. You can retire from your earthly job. That just buys you time to serve God full time. I'm not about to retire. I'm just getting started. You should be too. But skipping all the other analogous ways in which our cross is his cross, self-denial, self-denial to the will of the Father. His cross involved the suffering that was necessary for him to do what only he could do in God's redemptive plan. No one else could do it. His life was focused on it. He found his placement. Only he could take the sins of the world and do what he did on his cross. That's the dignity element. That's why I said this morning he wants to hand to the Father those like him, unique. There'll never be another Christ. There'll be a lot of little Christ Christians. Maybe not a lot, but some little Christ Christians who accept their cross as he accepted his. And the cross is that which only you can do in God's redemptive plan. There will never be another you. Ever. Foolish preachers have said, if you don't do it, God's got someone else. No, he doesn't. There will never be another you. And each of you, wholly committed over to God, can make a contribution to God's redemptive plan. No one else can or will ever do. If you don't do it, it won't be done. And your cross is the suffering that doing that, committing yourself, having the faith of Christ to commit yourself utterly to death if necessary, to make that contribution, the suffering, the battle that Satan puts up to keep you from doing it. Oh, I heard one foolish preacher once talk about Satan and the angels of hell dancing with joy when Christ was crucified. They moaned and groaned and cried. The one thing they didn't want him to do was go to Calvary. That meant they handed over at that point, they had him taken, snatched from them, keys of death, hell, and the grave. That means Christ and God won. Now, I don't know what mystery brought you to this voice. That's why I don't try to convert people. I have people that say, I was accidentally doing thus and so. I remember Sally Jesse Raphael sitting there shocked because I didn't know about it until that moment. As on her program, she was asking Glenn Campbell, well, your career was in shambles and has now turned around. What happened? Now, to most people, they think this is an accident. And I sat there amazed as I heard him say, I checked into a hotel in Los Angeles, drunk and stoned out of my mind, on drugs, and checked into a hotel intending to kill myself, commit suicide. And I turned on Dr. Gene Scott. For almost 36 hours, off and on, I checked him out. I assume he used a Gideon Bible in the hotel. I checked out everything he said, and everything checked out. Then he uttered the staggering word, Dr. Gene Scott saved my life. I could tell you hundreds of stories like that. I only tell them when they themselves come forth and identify it or give permission. There are no accidents. I don't know what made you attach yourself somewhere, spinning through the channels. Something clicked on the other side. I've had people tell me, I watched you, didn't understand what you were saying, but couldn't turn it off. Got a letter from a little boy that said he used to be full of fear at night. He'd have terrible dreams, and he was too young. He's now in his teens. He wrote me a letter. I was too young to understand everything, but you were on in the house, and I'd get up in the middle of the night and just listen to you, and my fears would go away. God has a hand on every life. Only two kinds of people in the kingdom. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The most important decision you make with your life is whether or not God's going to take you out on point. And you will have to look for other people to follow you as you follow Christ. The mass of you have to find who it is God wants you to follow. And as the Israelites could depend totally on God and Moses when they first left Egypt, by the time they got to Rephidim, Aaron and Hur had to hold up Moses' arms, or Joshua lost the battle in the battle. And Aaron and Hur could hold his arms up all day long. And without Joshua and the army down there, there's no battle going to be won. And the Ammonites came to annihilate them. And Aaron and Hur could hold their own arms up and wouldn't do a thing. And the soldiers could fight holding their arms up and lose. Only Moses' arms up there. As God was teaching at that point that he is building, that was the Old Testament church in type. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of the living God. Now, God wants some of you. Wants you to find your place and grow in the knowledge of his word and his promises, hang your body on it. But he will refine you. Jesus had time to go to Samaria, had time to go here and go there, But when the time was come that he should be offered up, for this cause I came, he said, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now you may think that it's not important to be a janitor in the house of the Lord. You need to read the Old Testament voice that sung out, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than anything else he could do. I've been telling you for 28 years, I didn't want to be a pastor. I always thought I was at my best when it was just me and God, got on a plane, went somewhere to pour out his word. But we couldn't build this ground and pillar to take the message. I wish there were 10,000 voices teaching what I'm doing. And I wish that 10,000 who listen to me and are inspired to use what I teach would be as honest as I am when I... My message didn't suffer today, to credit G. Campbell Morgan. That's honesty. That's not plagiarism and thievery and ego-motivated preaching. I wish 10,000 voices would pick up the tape, but be honest enough to say where you get the inspiration, just in case someone else may want to tune in to the source also. That's honesty. You've been called to a battle, and the suffering of you sticking to your guns and keeping your commitments. I had somebody call and say, when I get home from work, I'm just too tired to be a voice of faith. But when I heard your message this morning, I said, no, I can't be too tired. My wife will tell you how hard it was for me to make it to church this morning. You don't know the battle that God allows the devil, I guess, to put on me. The more mature the saint, the tougher the task, and the cross is at the end of the ministry. But it's the prelude to resurrection. I wish some of you in this church would quit being babies. Either you're a fool or God's a fool if you spent 15, 17, 20 years following this voice. And now in the maturity of the teaching, you won't crucify the flesh and bear your cross in sacrifice and pain to do your part as an irreplaceable beam or block or cement piece in this pillar and ground of the truth. Wake up, folks. And quit feeling sorry for yourself and putting yourself first and stay your course. As Paul said to Timothy, quit you like men, in Old English. Act like men. Pay the price. Do what only you can do. Be one that God and your pastor can count on to be your part and not leave a gap in the pillar and ground of truth. Sacrifice is that drive on the freeway. Compare that to Christ's cross. Getting up with not as much sleep as you'd like to have. To be a voice of faith. Faithful in your commitments. To be the irreplaceable one that can be counted on. That's your cross. Don't over-mysticize it. Paying the price of putting God and what he's given you an opportunity to participate in ahead of anything else that you're committed to for yourself in this life. Now, get on the phone and talk to me in the final minute.